number 28.
There are certain days that have left an indelible mark upon our minds and hearts as a nation, so much that we can remember what we were doing when something historical took place. For example, December the 7th, 1941 is certainly such a day. And I know there are those in this audience who were living at that time. And that, of course, is when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And it became, as President Roosevelt said, the day of infamy that launched America into World War II. And what about November the 22nd, 1963? Those of us that were alive at that time can all remember where we were and what we were doing when we heard the news that President Kennedy had been assassinated. However, a more recent date is September the 11th, 2001. And what happened on that day affected our nation in such a profound way that it has become known as simply 9/11. And I dare say that whenever you hear that expression, you know exactly what is being referred to. Now, because of the tragic events on 9/11, it showed just how critical it is that America have a coordinated and comprehensive national strategy to help protect against terrorist threats and attacks. And this is why the United States Department of Homeland Security, it is also known as the DHS, was established. It is a cabinet department of our federal government, and its responsibilities have to do with terrorism and responding to natural disasters. And I want you to get this. It has over 200,000 employees. That's kind of mind-boggling to me. I didn't realize that until I did a little research on it. But it has over 200,000 employees, making it the third largest cabinet department. And so the events of 9/11 had a great effect upon our nation, and it introduced this expression into our vocabulary, homeland security. And that, of course, has now become a part of our thinking and our way of speaking. Now, I've said all of that to simply say this, that there is a sense in which we should have this same kind of attitude in regard to spiritual matters. In other words, things pertaining to the church. And that is true because, as members of the church, the security of certain truths have been entrusted into our care, and it is our responsibility to guard, to watch out, and to protect them from harm. And in that sense, we should be concerned about homeland security. In other words, we're not going to sit idly by while the enemy tries to rob the church of its distinctiveness and doctrinal purity, whether that opposition comes from without or even from within. And this is something that we need to take very, very seriously, because God is going to hold us accountable in this regard. In Ezekiel 3, verses 17 through 18, they remember God said this to the prophet Ezekiel in the long ago, when he said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman." I want you to notice that word. "I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. And therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, he shall die in his iniquity." But notice now, "but his blood I will require at thine hand." Now, a watchman in Ezekiel's day was a sentinel who occupied the walls of ancient cities. And I'll tell you this, he dared not go to sleep on the job, because it was his responsibility to warn the city of any hostile force that was coming against it. And notice again, as a prophet of God, this is what Ezekiel was likened unto. Well, I want to ask you this question tonight. Does this, in principle, have any application to us today? And I want to say that certainly it does, especially those of us who are preachers and teachers and leaders in the Lord's church. And I say that because remember in Acts 20 and verses 26 through 27 that as Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, it seems obvious to me that really Paul was referring to what Ezekiel here had written in the long ago. When in Acts 20 and verse 27, he said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, listen now, that I am pure from the blood of all men." There it is. "I'm pure from the blood of all men," Paul said, "for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And listen, brethren, it should be a fearful thing unto us to go to sleep on the job and to fail to do our part in keeping the church secure from those forces that would do her harm. Let me put it another way. Guard duty is something that is considered a sacred trust by every soldier in the armed forces, and woe be unto that soldier who is found sleeping on guard duty. Have you ever heard of William Scott? William Scott is known in history as the sleeping sentinel during the Civil War. It is said that he joined Company K, the 3rd Vermont Infantry, and while his unit was encamped by a bridge, he was found asleep at his post. What do you think happened to him? You think they say, "Well, you know, it's not a big deal. We'll just simply overlook it this time"? No, that isn't what happened at all. Instead, what happened was he was court-martialed, he was put on trial, and then he was sentenced to be executed. However, he was later pardoned by President Lincoln because he had volunteered to take the place of a comrade the night before and was himself exhausted. And as a result, they decided to show him mercy. But listen, what we need to understand is that sleeping on guard duty is a terrible crime. And the reason is because the entire regiment could be lost through carelessness or perhaps through indifference. And you know what, tonight, we don't want to be a sleeping sentinel in the Lord's church, do we? No, we must be concerned with homeland security, or else the church is going to be left vulnerable to those forces that would lead it astray and that would destroy it. And so when we think about this expression, homeland security, I believe really that expresses the very attitude that we need to have as members in the Lord's church. We ought to be concerned with the security of the Lord's church in every place and realize that we have a responsibility to protect the church, to guard the faith, if you please, and to safely guard the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that we should possess the caring attitude that Paul expresses in Acts 20 and verses 25 through verse 32. Turn with me over there, if you will. I want to read some of these verses here. Of course, we've already referred to this. Here in Acts 20, the Apostle Paul has met with the elders at Ephesus. Paul is getting ready to take a journey to Jerusalem. And he doesn't know whether or not he's ever going to see these men again. He knows this. He knows that it has been revealed unto him that he is going to be severely persecuted when he gets to Jerusalem, and perhaps it will even cost him his life. And so before he leaves their midst, he wants to meet with them one more time and exhort them to be faithful and to be the overseers in the Lord's church at Ephesus that they ought to be. Notice what he says in Acts 20 and verse 25. He said, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more." Can't you imagine? This was a sad day for both Paul and these men. Perhaps we're never going to see each other again this side of heaven. And this is when he makes that statement, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." But notice what his concern is. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." They were the elders at Ephesus. They were the shepherds over this local flock. at that place, if you please. And Paul says, I want you to fulfill this responsibility as you should. I want you to take heed to yourselves and to this local flock. And he says, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Why? Why is he so concerned? Because Paul can see what's coming. He knows that after his departure, problems and trouble is coming at Ephesus. He says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And you know what the sad thing about it is? Paul says, this is even true of you elders. Even of your own selves, he says, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. But then notice what he says in verse 31. And can you not hear the care and the concern and the love that is in the heart of the Apostle Paul when he says, therefore, watch. What does he say? Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul says, for the past 3 years I've been warning you concerning this. And he says, I have been giving you this warning with tears. I want to ask you this tonight, and I want you to think about this. Have you lately shed any tears for the church? Have you? Do you sometimes look at some of the problems that we have here and there in the body of Christ, and it breaks your heart? It causes you to weep. It causes you to shed some tears, and you have a real concern, and you're praying earnestly and fervently for the church? You know what, brethren, listen to me. I wonder sometimes. You can't stop somebody from wondering, I don't guess. And I'll tell you what I wonder sometimes. I wonder, what would it take? Think about this. What would it take tonight for some people in the church to get concerned? What would it take tonight? What would have to happen for some brethren in the church to really maybe get a little upset? What would it take? What would have to be taught tonight as far as false doctrine is concerned? What kind of a false practice this evening would have to be introduced into the body of Christ before some would finally say, you know what? We just can't go along with this. We've got to stand up for the truth. It's time to stand up for the truth, like my brother Jerry has just talked about. It's time to stand against error. What would it take for some to finally arise and say, you know what? It's time to contend earnestly for the faith, like the Bible says we need to do. Do you ever shed any tears for the Lord's church? Well, Paul was, because this was how concerned he was for them. And then he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Brethren, the truth is that we are living in a dangerous world. And dangers are a part of the reality of life. We see evidence of that everywhere that we turn. You know what? There's warning labels on products. There's weather alerts about hazardous weather. And bless their heart, in New Orleans, they're getting ready for another major hurricane that is coming their way. And they are being warned concerning that. There's dangers everywhere that we look. But isn't it interesting how that sometimes in the spiritual realm, we want to act as if we are oblivious to the dangers that are facing the church today? And listen, brethren, we need to wake up. We do. It's time to wake up and wipe the sleep from our eyes and seek to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And the truth is that the church has always faced dangers. And of course, that is still true today. It comes in many forms: worldliness, indifference, a spirit of compromise, false teaching, confusing excitement and emotionalism with edification and spirituality. And of course, there are problems that face our homes from time to time. But I want you to remember this tonight. Remember this. Anytime the church lets its guard down and no longer cries out against those things, the church is in greater danger than it realizes. That's when the church is in danger, here and there, when we just simply lay our hands to our side and we have the attitude, We're just going to let things go. What did Paul write to Timothy, an evangelist in the New Testament? He wrote in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 that the time is coming. In fact, he said, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. He meant by that, the Holy Spirit has told us in the plainest of terms that some shall depart from the faith. Paul said, an apostasy is coming. And then he went on to tell Timothy in verse 6, he said, if, and notice that's conditional, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, then thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Brethren, when it comes to the church, we need to be concerned about homeland security. And we want to do our best to contend for the faith and to defend and to guard all of those things that pertain to it. Well, we're going to extend the invitation now. Is there someone in this audience who's not a member of the Lord's church? You're outside of Jesus Christ, and that's the only place where real safety and security can be found. That's where salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you need to obey the gospel tonight. You've not done that yet, but you've been thinking about that. Maybe you've been putting it off. Now is the time to do it, while you have the time and the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, the Bible says. And as we sing this invitation song, won't you come forward believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repenting of your sins? Make up your mind, I'm going to turn away from sin. I'm going to be on the Lord's side from henceforth. I'm going to live for Him. We'll give you an opportunity to make the good confession with your mouth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you can rise from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. Perhaps I'm talking to someone in this audience tonight who is a child of God. You have obeyed the gospel. You are a member of the church. But maybe you've gone back into sin. You're in a backslidden condition. And you realize it's time to come home. And this can be homecoming for every prodigal son or daughter of God that is in the audience tonight. Come back to the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing your faults, whatever they might be, and having prayer on your behalf. And the Lord has promised that He'll receive you back with open arms, and He will forgive you of all your iniquities. There's one here tonight who's subject to the gospel call. Please come as we stand and sing the psalm.